Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kedushin Daf Samach Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin at the lower part of Daf Samach Tes, as you can readily see the beginning of the fourth and last perek of Maseches Kiddushin, Perek Asor Yuchsin. The perek, as its name implies, deals with the issue of pedigree. And the Mishnah describes 10 different categories of people, Jewish people, that came from Bavel during the time of Ezra, under the leadership of Ezra, during the time that we call the rebuilding of the second Beis Hamikdash. The Mishnah. Asor Yuchsim Olu Mibavel. 10 types of pedigree came from Bavel, Teretz Yisrael, along with Ezra. Kehani, Levi, Israeli, Chalol, a person born from a Kohen who married someone forbidden to a Kohen, like a Grusha, like a divorcee, the child is a Chalol. Geri, those are Gerim Haruri, those are individuals that were enslaved but then set free. Mamzeri, the illegitimate. Nesini, members of the Nesinim, a people that joined the Jewish people under subterfuge in the time of Yehoshua, and subsequently David HaMelech ruled that they are not to marry into the Jewish people. Shtuki Vasufi. Shtuki are those that don't know who their father is, and the Asufi would be the case of a child. It's a common imagery of a child found in a basket left on someone's doorstep, not knowing who the father nor mother is. Kehani Levi Yisraeli Mutorin Lavo Zeh Bozeh. There is no restriction on the marriage between male and female. Kehanim Levim Yisraelim. Levi Yisraeli Chaloli Geri V'Charuri Mutorin Lavo Zeh Bozeh. These categories of people, male and female, can marry one with the other. You'll notice that in this category, Kehanim are not included. Well, because Kehanim are not allowed to marry Cholol, a Ger, or a Meshuchar. The Mishnah goes on, Geri V'Charuri, Mamzeri Unesini, Shtuki V'Asufi, Kulam Mutorin Lavo Zeh Bozeh. And finally, these categories, male and female, can marry one with the other. So that even though, for example, we're accustomed saying that a mamzer cannot marry into the rank and file Jewish people, nevertheless, a mamzer can marry a giyores, a convert, and likewise the others one with the other, as the Mishnah says. V'elu heim shtuki. We mentioned in the list, in the list above, we have the number 9 category was a shtuki. What is that? Kol shu makir es imo v'eino makir es oviv. He who knows who his mother is but doesn't know who his father is. Asufi, what is that? Kol shenei asaf min hashuk v'eino makir lo es oviv v'lo es imo. Anyone who was gathered in from the marketplace. In other words, an abandoned child. And there is no awareness, no familiarity with who the father nor the mother is. Abashol hoyakore l'shtuki beduki. Abashol referred to the shtuki using the term beduki. The Gemara. Asor yuchsin olu mibovel. Here we've dashed, underlined the word olu. The Gemara wants to focus on that word. Olu means arose from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. On the side, we have a topic heading, which reads, Mekoros, sources. Number one, Shirushaim Gavoa Mikol Eretz Israel, that Jerusalem is described as being higher than the rest of the land of Israel. And number two, Eretz Israel Gavoa Mikol Harotzus, and the land of Israel described as being higher than all other lands. Now, as far as when we say higher, we're not necessarily referring to altitude, but certainly a reference is being made to an element of spirituality, of sanctity, that's vested in Yerushalayim and the land of Israel. So when speaking about coming from outside to Jerusalem, outside Jerusalem unto Jerusalem, we speak about one going up. Likewise, from outside the land of Israel to the land of Israel. In fact, as this recording is being made, there's a common term used for people who are coming to immigrate into the land of Israel from other lands. The term that's commonly used is to make aliyah. So even in the common parlance, you see ole aliyah, going up, is the term used. The Gemara, my iria de toni olu mi bavel. What is the basis, what motivated the Tana to use the term Olu Mibavel? Nisni Holchu Eretz Israel, could not the term simply traveled to Israel be used? The Gemara says, Milsa Agav Urche Komashmon, something is taught in the Mishnah parenthetically, or like literally by the way. Agav Urche means by the way, Kidesanya. There is a Pasuk that says, Vekamto Volisa El Hamoke Mashivchar Shem Elokecha. The Lamed Shebeis Hamikdash Gavoa Mikol Eretz Yisrael Gavoa Mikol Rotzus. So we have this Tanaic source based on the Pasuk that the Olisa indicates that the Beis Hamikdash is higher than the rest of the land of Israel, and the land of Israel higher than the rest of the lands of the globe. So now this Pasuk, V'kamta V'olisa El Amokai Mashiyivcha Hashem Elokecha, we should point out, this pasuk appears in the context of a Zokain Mamre, a rebellious sage that doesn't want to accept the ruling of the Sanhedrin. So it describes a process, a procedure, where eventually this sage is brought along with those that disagree with him to the high court that sat in the Lishkas Hagozis, a chamber attached to the Beis Hamikdash. So there is a description here of rising up to the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says, Bishlomo Beis Hamikdash Gavah Mikol Eretz Yisrael. I understand well that the Beis Hamikdash is higher than the rest of the land of Israel. Hainu Dichtiv, the Pasuk is understood if we continue now on, at the top of Omid Beis. It says, Divrei Revois Bishorechta, Bishorecha, Vekanto, Violisa. The Pasuk that we just cited. There's a disagreement in your cities, in the land of Israel, and then you come up and arise to the Beis Hamikdash. So this Pasuk shows that when you're coming from the rest of your Shorecha, the rest of your gates, literally the city gates where courts sat in judgment in cities across the land of Israel, when the controversy arose, they would rise from there to the Beis Hamikdash. So the Pasuk serves as a source for the Beis Hamikdash being higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And again, we emphasize the word v'alisa, you rise up. Elo Eretz Yisrael gavo mikol arosos menolan. From where do we see that the land of Israel is considered higher than the rest of the lands of the globe? Distichtiv. We have a pasuk. You'll note that we have a long marking. It's a long pasuk, which says, pasuk is a reference to the days in the future. Lochein hine yomim bo'imnu mashem. There are days coming, says the Almighty. Velo yomru od, they will say no longer Chai Hashem Asher Helo es Bnei Yisrael Eretz Mitzrayim, referring to the Almighty and his performance of miracles concerning the bringing up the nation of Israel from the land of Egypt. Ki im chai Hashem asher ha'elo v'asher hevi es v'nei Israel me'eretz tzofon u'mikol ha'arosus asher hidachtim sham. But rather, and the time will come that the Almighty will be referred to as the God that brought up, and I emphasize again, we dash in the word ha'elo. He brought up his nation from all the nations to the land of Israel. So you see that relative to all the nations, in order to get to Eretz Israel, you have to go up. The Gemara asks, "My area detani olu mibavel nisni olu li Eretz Israel." What is gained by mentioning that they arose from Bavel? Say they rose to Eretz Israel. Misayale le Rebbe Lazar, the Mishnah that says olu mibavel supports Rebbe Lazar's teaching. The Omer Rebbe Lazar, lo ola Ezra mi Bavel. Ezra did not rise from Bavel. Ad she'asah keselus nekiyah v'olah, until he made the Jewish community of Bavel like well sifted, fine, clean flour. Flour is from is produced from kernels of wheat. Initially, when you grind the wheat kernels, there is stubble and residue and undesirable fragments that are part of that which you have ground. There's chaff and bran and other forms of debris. That's what happens when you grind the wheat kernels in their initial phase. Afterwards, sifting takes place, and eventually all the debris is separated, and you're left with clean solas. Solas being the fine, desirable part of the flour process. What is the analogy to? In Bavel, there was a large community of Jews living in, at that time, the exile that followed the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. Amongst the Jewish community, there were those that were of pure pedigree and many that were not. And in the Mishnah, we made reference to all kinds of additional problematic groups in addition to straightforward Koyanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. There are other problematic groups. And Ezra did not leave Bavel until he separated from the Babylonian community, leaving them, we'll say, without his leadership, because Ezra, the leader of the Jewish people of the time, left Bavel to come to Eretz Israel. So he wanted to make sure that the community that remained in Bavel was of pure stock. And therefore, we'll say, the level of supervision necessary to ensure pureness of pedigree was reduced to a minimum. And he did that by making sure that when leaving Bavel, he separated, he identified those people that were of questionable stock, and brought them with him out of Bavel, leaving Bavel behind with a pure, when I say pure by way of pedigree, pure population of the Jewish community was called, say, problem free. The description that we just made, courtesy of Rebbe Lazar, is hinted to or alluded to by the Mishnah when it says olu mi Bavel, the idea of departing from Bavel. Bavel figures as in a central fashion here, in the sense that Bavel was purified. And the analogy to flour is, as we said before, there's pure flour, and then you have the earlier stage when it's not pure, it's mixed in with all kinds of debris. The Gemara continues. But maybe before we do that, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading. where we have a, we'll feature a machlokes Abaye veRava behesber dino yishur Belozer regarding that which Rabbi Elazar said, lo ola Ezra ibavah at shasa keselis nikia. Ezra the leader of the Jewish people did not depart Bavel until he made sure it was like fine, clean flour. Hifrish es hapsulim v'hishir b'bavel rak haksherim. He separated out those that are disqualified from marrying into the rank and file Jewish people, brought them with him, leaving behind Bavel that had only ksherim, legitimate kosher Jews. Now the Gemara. Itmar, Abai Omar, Olu Me'alehem Tanan. Verov Omar, He'elum Tanan. Abai says that those that left Bavel, they came up, they departed Bavel to Eretz Yisrael on their own. Rava says that he forcibly brought them with him. When I say them, it's a reference to all those questionable, doubtful people in terms of their pureness of pedigree. V'kol miflegi b'derebi Elozar. The machlokas Abaye and Rava revolves around Rebbe Elazar. The Yomer Rebbe Elazar lo ala Ezra mibavel ad shasa keselis nikia v'ala. Rebbe Elazar that we just saw said that Ezra did not arise from Bavel until he made sure beforehand that the community he left behind was of pure pedigree. Abaye less lay the Rebbe Elazar. Abaye, who said they came on their own, does not subscribe to what Rebbe Elazar taught. Rava is lay the Rebbe Elazar. Rava, who says that he forcibly brought them with him, indicates that's exactly what Ezra did. He purified the Babylonian community and brought forcibly with him all those questionable types. Iboyasema, another approach. The Kule Alma is Lehu the Rebbe Elazar. Everyone subscribes to what Rebbe Elazar taught. Even Abaye, Vahocha Behocha Miflegi. The difference between Abaye and Rav is as follows. More sovar Afrushe Afrushinu. Abaye holds that Ezra, in Bavel, he separated them. He identified the psulim, thereby making it such that the people in Bavel, the locals, they recognized them. They saw what Ezra did. He labeled them. He isolated them, and with that, they would not mix in with them anymore. Uminaf Shaihu Slikun, on their own, they arose to Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says across from here, Uminaf Shaihu Slikun Eretz Yisrael Shaloya Kirubahem, so that they would no longer be so clearly recognizable. In other words, in Bavel, they were labeled very clearly as being psulim, as being disqualified from being able to marry into the rank and file Jewish people because of their questionable pedigree, and the pure pedigree Jews in Bavel now recognize them, and they would not mix in with them anymore. And these people, these psulim, on their own, wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael where they wouldn't be recognized. Umor Sovar, Rava, holds, Bal Korchayu Asukinu. He brought them up against their will. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice we've used a triangle to highlight Bishlamo, and we'll say Lamando Omar. And that's what we feature on the side under our Mivneh heading, the word Bishlam Bishlam, meaning things will work out well according to, we have here Abaye and Rava, we have to take them into consideration. Bishlamo Leman Diomar Olu, things work out well according to Abaye, who said Olu Me'alem, Hainu Diomar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kol Arotzis Esau L'Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael Esau L'Bavel. The word Esau means dough. Dough is, in effect, a mixture of things, of flour, of water, spices, or whatever. But it's a word that means mixture. mixed in, not clear. So what does Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel say? He says, all the lands are like Esau to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Esau, or Eretz Yisrael, relative to Japan, China, United States, Russia. Eretz Yisrael is relatively speaking, pure relative to the lands of the world. Eretz Yisrael, Esau Lebovel. And Eretz Yisrael has a mixture in it, and it's considered, therefore, not pure relative to Bovel. Bovel being the heights of purity. Rashi, across from here, says, Bishlo Manto Amar She'olu Me'alehen, that they came on their own. V'lo Hikiru Bohem Ha'olim Imohem Kol Kach. And the others that came with Ezra didn't recognize the Psulim so clearly. After all, they came on their own. So, Hainu, Eretz Yisrael, Yisrael Bavel, therefore we can see Eretz Yisrael being considered a mixture, in other words, lacking purity relative to Bavel. Sofek Yichusu Eitzel Bavel, Shanasis Bavel Kesos Nikia. Doubts concerning pedigree relative to Bavel, which was made like pure flour. Eretz Yisrael, Lohi Kirum, Ubnei Eretz Yisrael, Lohi Kirum Kol Kach. And those that were in Israel didn't recognize these newcomers so clearly. V'yesh shenidbiku imoyim. And there were those that unfortunately stuck to them, that clinged and joined together with them, meaning in marriage and intimacy, producing children. And that means producing problematic children. So the description of Abaye has more relevance, smoother to understand in light of Shmuel's description of Eretz Yisrael being Esau Lebovel, Elo Laman Yomar He'elum. But according to Rava, that said they were brought up by force against their will, so Meida Yadinu, the people in Eretz Yisrael knew very well who they were. So where's the appropriateness of describing Eretz Yisrael as Esau Lebovel? The Gemara answers, Nihi Diadi Ludora, granted that generation that came with Ezra and those that were present in Eretz Yisrael at the time saw them, recognized them, were able to label them and stay away from them. However, Ludora Achrini Lo Yadi, but future generations, the next generation, this level of awareness no longer existed. So murkiness set in, doubt set in regarding many people, and hence Eretz Yisrael still could be described as Esau relative to Bavel, where no questionable pedigree was left behind. Bishlomo Leman Domar Olu. Once again, we say that things work out better for Abaye Hainu Dichtiv. With Abaye's approach, we can understand the following pasuk. It says, "Va'kabtzem el hanahor abo al achvo v'nachnasham yomim shloisha v'avina ba'om." And I gathered the people together. Ezra says, by the river. We camped there for 3 days, and I investigated Vavina from where Bino Lahavin to understand. I had to analyze in order to understand who was there. Ube Kehanim Ume Levi Lo Motsosi Sham, and amongst the Kehanim and Levi, I didn't find any there. We take a look at Rashi together. The Avina Ba'am, Rashi says, Mi Hoya Mi Lo Hoya. Then I had to analyze who was there and who was not there. Shma Mino Lo Yada Ezra Mi Ola Imoi, Umi Lo Ola Imo. So Ezra himself didn't know who came with him and who did not come with him. Vesover Shahayu Sham Levim Ksherim. He thought that there were proper Levim, Velo Motsaruim Lavoda Elo Meosim Shikotsu Bahinis Yudam Bashinam. This information will appear later in the Gemara, but it says here that he found only those Levim that were unfit to serve as Levim in the base Hamikdash that was being built, because they had cut off their thumbs V'omru, and they said, without thumbs, how can they play the string instruments, which is under the charge of the Levim? They said, Eich noshir eshir Hashem, the Mizmar al Naras Babel, in Tehillim Psalms, chapter 137, Shamlem Nebuchadnezzar Shulam Mishir Tzion, the King Nebuchadnezzar asked the Jewish exiles to sing some of the songs of Israel, songs of the Beis HaMikdash, Omdu V'kosubonu Sidem Shinem, they arose and cut off their thumbs in a type of, we'll say, protest, rebelliousness. They're not going to play Beis HaMikdash songs for the evil King Nebuchadnezzar. How can we sing the songs of God on a strange land? Lo noshilo nemar. It doesn't say in the pasuk we will not sing. Elo eich noshir. I mean, how can we play the song? How can we present to you the music of Eretz Yisrael? We don't have the means anymore to strike, to pluck the chords of the string instruments. My oison from those olu, those deficient Levium came with Ezra. But from the ksherim, the Levium that were suitable for song, for music, he did not find. They liked the peaceful existence in Bavel. Those that returned to the land of Israel didn't have it so easy. There was poverty. There was hard to find occupation. There was fear of the surroundings. The reference to Levites that were in the Mishnah. They were those Levim that were not fit for the Levite service in the new Second Temple, Beis HaMikdash. So we go back to the Gemara saying that Abaye's approach, that though Ezra separated them in the Psulim in Bavel, as far as their rising to Eretz Yisrael, that's something they did on their own. Oh, if they did it on their own, so Ezra was not aware of who was there and who was not. And that's what the pasuk indicates. I spent 3 days analyzing the group that came with me, and he says, and then lo and behold, I did not find kosher Kehanim and Levium. I didn't find Levium that were kosher. The pasuk says, Vavinabam uvakoanim, and then ubnei Levi lo motzo sisham, and I didn't find any kosher Levium, as we saw in Rashi. Elo laman diomar, the Gemara goes on to say, he'elum ha mizar zehiri. But according to Rava, that says he brought them up, so there was mizar zehiri behu. Rashi says yodea hoya mi olo mi lo olo. Mizhar Zihiri, Lizaher, means to be careful, to be aware. He was aware of who came and who didn't. So that, what does the Pasuk mean when it says that I had to analyze who was there? The Gemara answers, Nehid Izur Bipsulim, Biksherim Lo Izdahur. Granted, he was careful with regard to the Psulim. So he knew which psulim came up. Psulim, we say psulim, we know meaning mamzerim and nesinim, asufi and shtuki, those he knew of. But amongst the kosher people, people that are allowed to marry into the rank and file Jewish people, that he wasn't aware of who was suitable to serve as well in the Beis HaMikdash. So amongst those, he wasn't aware. So he was analyzing who amongst the kosher people are suitable for serving in the Beis HaMikdash. As we continue in the Gemara, a new marking appears. You see the use of the double underline on the side of the Gemara. We have the Mivneh, the structural note. A double underline is featured, and we've written Hadgoshas Ayuchasim HaShonim, the highlighting of the different categories of pedigree. So here you see Koyani, Levi, Israeli featured. 2 lines later, Chaloli. And you'll see the double underline marking continues onto the next Omed, Daf Ayin, Omed Aleph. it's used for the during throughout the you see the upper part of Ayin Omen Aleph. The rest of the different categories are highlighted with this marking. The diamond marking highlights Min Nolon. From where do we know the Olu Bizman Ezra, that these different categories came together with Ezra? Now the Gemara. Kaini Leviv Israeli, Minolon Disliku, from where do we know that they came with Ezra? Dichti Vayeshvu Hakonim Valvim Umin Ha'om Vahamashirim Vashayarim Vanesinim Beoreim Vahol Yisrael Boreim. Now we've dashed underlined the key words. We were asking, how do you know that these three categories came, Kohen Levim Yisraelim, and you can see there highlighted with the dashed underlining. And of course, this pasuk is from Sefer Ezra, so they came with him. Chaloli Geriv Harui, these three categories, Chaloli Minolon, and mentioned together here you have Geri and Haruri. So on the top of Daf Ayin, Omen Aleph, you'll see we refer to them. But in the meantime, we have Chaloli. From where do we know that Chalolim came? Desanya. And here we have a Tanaic source. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gedola Chazoka. Now this expression, Gedola Chazoka, is a term that the Gemara will focus on later. But in the meantime, means Chazok is a given status, a known status that one enjoyed, let's say, enjoyed till now. So, so Gedola Chazoka, we see that the given status has a strong halachic implications. Shneemar, Ubnei HaKoyanim. This pasuk will have a quite extensive reference to different names, and the idea of Gedola Chazoka will have meaning later. In the meantime, it says Ubnei HaKonim, Bnei Chovaya, Bnei HaKoitz, Bnei Barzilai, Asher Lokach Mibnos Barzilai Gilodi, Asher Isha, Vayikore Al Shmom, Eile Bikshu Ksovam Hamisyachsim Velo Nimtso. So we have a pasuk that describes there were amongst the Kohanim, and there were different family names mentioned, and it says that they took as wives from the daughters of Barzilai HaGiladi, and they sought out their Ksovam HaMasyachsa, means their genealogical records, v'lo nimtso, and they could not find them. Vayigalu min hakuna. This we've dashed on, it's a very important expression for this discussion. Vaygalo means to be, they were cast out, they were rejected from the kahuna. Rashi, in the wide lines, we have a star making it a little easier to find things, says, Afkan, Almo Rashi says, Minichti vaygalo, they were cast out, Shma mino nishalalu minakuna, vahainu chalolim, that they were rendered Chalolim, they were declared Chalolim, and as we said before, a Cholol, though his father is a Kohen, but he married someone he shouldn't have married, and therefore the son is called a Cholol. He's basically has no Kohen status. The Pasuk continues, Pasuk Samach Gimel over there, Vayomer HaTirshosa. Tirshosa is a code name for Nehemiah. Nehemiah was one of the leaders of the Jewish people at this very time, at the return after the Babylonian exile to the land of Israel. So Nehemiah, who's known as the Tirshosa, Vayomer HaTirshosa Lehem, Asher Lo Yochlu Mikodesh HaKodoshim Ad Amod Kohen Leurim V'tumim. They shall not eat from Kodesh HaKodoshim until the Kohen returns with the Urim V'tumim, the special stones, the miraculous stones of the Kohen Gadol. Miraculous, that's described elsewhere in the Shas, how they, when asked a question, when a king would pose a question that needed an answer from Shomayim, from heaven, so the Kohen Gadol was approached, and the priestly Kohen, the high priest breastplate that had the 12 different stones and letters on them, a miracle would happen. They would light up, or they would bulge, and answer the question. So the Nehemiah says that the Kohanim will not eat from Kodesh HaKadoshim until the Kohen arises with the Urim V'Tumim. V'yomer lehem, harei atem b'cheskaschem, you can enjoy your current or your up till now known status. B'ameh ha'yisim ochlim b'golah, what were you eating in the exile? B'kodesh HaGvul, you were eating the Truma tithe. There was a Truma tithe that was practiced even in Bavel. The term Kodshei Hagvul is a reference to those, that type of food that's called holy, but is not limited to, we'll say, the Beis HaMikdash. It can be eaten anywhere. Af Kan, so too now that you're in Eretz Yisrael, Nami B'Kodshei Hagvul. Just like in Bavel you were eating Kodshei Hagvul, so too in Eretz Yisrael. But more than that, we cannot allow. Here I'm being very general, because I'll wait for the Gemara to explain in detail when I say more than that. This is all a function of what the Pasuk said, by Yigal Min HaKuhuna, they didn't have their genealogical records showing their pure pedigree, their pure priestly Kohen pedigree. So Nehemiah said, listen, what can I do for you? I can't help you. I can't allow you any more than you were familiar with while in exile, namely eating Kodshei HaGvul. But now that you're in Eretz Yisrael and there's a Beis HaMikdash and the opportunities of holiness increase by way of different food items, for you who do not have records of your pure Kohanic pedigree, you cannot partake of that. What can you partake of? Only that which you were accustomed to in the Gola, in the exile. The source that we just finished was brought in to highlight, to answer, how do we know that Chalolim were part of the entourage that came with Ezra at the time of the return? And here we're quoting, as we've seen, Psukim from that period, from the book of Ezra, describing that period. Chalolim then were included. And as we saw before in Rashi, Vayagoa Lumina Kuna indicates being cast out of the Kuna, being labeled a cholol. The Gemara asks, Ulaman Yomer Ma'alim Mitruma Liyuchsin, according to the opinion that says, when you see someone receiving Truma, you can draw conclusions regarding pureness of pedigree. Hani de'ochel betruma, so those that would continue eating truma, asu la'asukinu, they would be, asukinu literally means risen, they would rise, they would be categorized as pure Kohen pedigree. And, well, we just got finished saying that there were problems, they didn't have their genealogical records, but now that you're saying that Malin Mitrumal Yuchsin, according to the school of thought that says when you see someone, when you see a Kohen eating Truma, you don't have to check any further. And he couldn't be given a kosher pedigree type mate to marry. So these characters that Nehemiah said you can continue eating Truma, well, isn't there what to worry about? So the Gemara says, Shiny Hasam. In general, we'll tell you, if you see a Kohen eating Truma, you can come to conclusions regarding his pureness of pedigree. There, it's different. There's nothing to worry about. Even though there were questionable Kohanim amongst them, the Reach is Kasayu. Their status had a weakness in it. What was the weakness in it? Because, as the Pasuk said, these Kohanim, though they're going to continue eating Truma, they are not going to be eating from sacrifices offered in the new Beis HaMikdash. They're not going to be like the rest of the Kohanim. The Gemara asks, well, if they have this, we'll say, clamp on them, and they're actually have this weaker status, And therefore, there's no fear of being ma'ale them to Yuchsin to consider these kayhanim of pure stock. Velomai gedola chazaka. And what was meant by the expression that Rabbi Yossi said, great is the strength of chazaka. When you say great is the strength of chazaka, you would anticipate that because of their previous known status, they've been entitled to more things. But it doesn't seem that way now. So we take a look at the Rashi, about six lines up from the bottom. Rashi says, V'elo kevan deleko lemigzar midi. Since you're saying now there's no reason for establishing any restriction, my gedola chazaka d'yomer Rabbi Yossi. What did Rabbi Yossi mean at the opening of this source when he said gedola chazaka? My rabusa, what's the novel point? What's the big deal? Lo hoyo lo lomar elo minayin lechazaka. From where do we know that a chazaka operates? Midikomar gedola, from the fact that he chose the word gedola, rabusash, I mean, is trying to tell me that there's some chiddush, there's something novel. The afagav dikot sad isur, even though there is some type of restrictive factor that one might take into consideration, dikot sad isur hashtot fe meikora, even though there's some reason to worry more than originally, samchinan Allah, I rely on the chazaka to not worry about something. Well, if you're telling me now that these questionable kahanim, they would not eat from korbanos, hence there's no fear that I'll confuse these kahanim and male mitruma liyuchsin and consider them of pure pedigree because of their truma consumption. What did Rabbi Yossi imply when he said gedola chazaka? Answer number one. The Meikora Ochol Betruma de Rabbonon. In Bavel, they were eating what's in effect only rabbinic level truma. Trumas Chutzlarts, tithes that one ties outside of the land of Israel, would have maximum rabbinic status. Ulubasov, upon coming to Israel, they'll continue eating truma, but in the land of Israel, Ochol Betruma de Raisa, they're going to eat from truma that would be tithes on a Torah level. So that the fact that they were eating that which was labeled as truma in Chutz La'aretz is entitling now to, when upon coming to Israel, to eat even Torah level truma. That's gedola chazaka. That's the greatness of the strength that chazaka has in it. Another approach, the second approach says that upon coming to Eretz Israel, these questionable kehanim who couldn't find their pedigree records would continue eating only truma derabbanan. Now you'll ask, what do you mean by truma derabbanan in the land of Israel? The answer to that is fruits and vegetables. The Torah doesn't expect truma to be tithed only other than from dogon tirosh and yitzar, grains, olives, olive oil, and wine. But all other items, apples, pears, green peppers, tomatoes, even though you're in the land of Israel, the truma that would be tithed would be rabbinic. So that this second approach is saying that even upon entry to the land of Israel, all they would be allowed to consume, these questionable kehanim, was truma de rabbonan. But truma de raisa, no. V'chimaskinon mitruma liyuchsin, and when we say that you can come to pedigree conclusions regarding the eating of truma, that's midoraisa. When you see someone eating, let's say, wine truma, grain truma, midorabona lo maskina. If you see someone eating tomatoes, truma tomatoes, or truma pears, lo maskina, you're not going to have him rise to the category of pure pedigree. You won't consider him of pure stock. And we mentioned before, but in passing, this idea of not being considered pure stock, this has ramifications to whom one would allow his daughter, who is of pure stock, to marry. These people would not marry those kind of women. we should point out that a Kohen has to be very careful whom he marries. But these Kohanim, not being of pure stock, wouldn't fall under the same, we'll say, under the same category. There's a Rashi that we should read. If we didn't read it before, let's read it now. Malin mitruma liyuchsin, Rashi in the middle of the wide lines. Haroya kayin oicha betruma b'mekaymai. If you see a kayin eating truma in your place, ein tzorch livdok achro biyuchsin. You don't have to check him out any further. V'nose kohen bito. And you could give your daughter over to him, and your daughter again being an example of pure pedigree type girl, honey. These questionable kehanim kevon di achli betruma. We were fearful. We said before that since they're eating truma, osi lasukinu, they will be risen to the status of pure pedigree. And we asked before, why did Nehemiah not worry about that and entitle them to eat truma? So we gave a couple answers. We said the first answer was that they were not going to eat of korbonus. So even though they were eating from truma, people saw that they're different and they're not going to consider these kohanim of pure lineage. And then we ask, what does Gedola Chazoka mean if they have this built-in clamp and restriction on them? And the first answer we gave to that was, at first they were eating Truma de Rabbona, now in the land of Israel they're eating Truma de Raisa. The second approach was that even now they're going to be eating only Truma de Rabbona, and as far as the issue of maskina mitruma liyuchsin, that applies only if you see someone eating truma doraisa. But these people were not eating truma doraisa. The Gemara asks, well, according to this approach, that even in the land of Israel they were restricted to truma derabona niyachi mai gedola chazaka. So then what did Rabbi Yossi mean earlier when he said, great is the strength of chazaka? Answer, the meikara leko lemigzar mishum truma doraisa. Originally, when they were in Bavel eating truma de Rabbanan, there was no truma de Raisa in the vicinity to even worry about. In other words, if someone's eating truma de Rabbanan, they might come to eat truma de Raisa. That doesn't apply in Bavel. Le Besof, but upon coming to Israel, af al gav di iko le migzar mishum truma de Raisa, even though there is reason to think that maybe if we let them eat truma de Rabbanan, rabbinic truma, they'll come to eat truma de Raisa, which is readily available now in Eretz Yisrael. B'drabonan achol, b'doraisa lo achol. That's gedola chazaka. We still, even though there was this fear, maybe we shouldn't allow them to eat even truma drabonan for fear they might come to eat truma doraisa. Gedola chazaka tells us, let them eat truma drabonan, and they won't come to eat truma doraisa. The Gemara asks, the hoksiv. And based on the pasuk, how can we say that they did not eat truma d'oraisa? The pasuk says, "Vayomer atirshasu lehem asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakodashim." We saw this pasuk quoted earlier, that the Nehemiah, who was known as Tirshasa, said, "Now that you can't find your records, your lineage, your pedigree records, you are not going to eat from Kodesh HaKadoshim." And the simple meaning of that expression is, B'Kodesh HaKadoshim Hu D'lo Yochal, meaning sacrifices. Earlier I didn't want to translate this, and you'll see why. The simple reading is, sacrifices, no. B'Kodesh HaKadoshim Hu D'lo Yochal, HaKol Midi Nechol. But all other things, including Truma Doraisa, they would be entitled to eat. So how can you say that in Eretz Yisrael, all they were allowed to eat was Truma Durabonan, and we said that that's what Gedola Chazaka was referring to, that even though there's Truma Doraisa around, we're not going to worry that they'll come to eat from it. But the Pasuk says that the Pasuk infers that they did eat from Truma Doraisa, from Torah level Truma. The Gemara says, no. Hochi Ka'omar. The term Kodesh HaKadoshim is explained here different than the way we ordinarily treat that expression. It's a reference to two separate types of food. lo midi demikri kodesh, velo midi demikri kodshim. Now that you have come to Eretz Yisrael and you don't have your ksav hamasyachsim, your pedigree records, so you're not going to be able to eat that which is called kodesh. That's a reference to truma. And you're not going to be able to eat that which is called kodshim. That's a reference to sacrifices. Lo b'midi demikri kodesh. You're not going to be allowed to eat from that which is called kodesh. We said is truma. Dichtiv, the pasuk says v'cholzar lo yochal kodesh. That pasuk is dealing with truma. That non-kohanim, a zara is a non-kohen, shall not eat kodesh. A reference to truma. Obviously, truma d'oraisa. There's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah, I guess it's obvious, but it only refers to things that are Torah-oriented. So there were at that time, when the Torah was given, there weren't any rabbinic restrictions or rabbinic categories of other things that need to be tied. So the Torah is saying that which is called Kodesh in the Torah, Truma D'oraisa, that these questionable Kohanim will not be allowed to eat. V'lo midi demikri kochim, d'yomar kro, and they're not going to be entitled to eat kochim either. These questionable kohanim that came together with Ezra, korbanos are called kochim, d'yomar kro. The pasuk says in the context of chosav eshok, these are parts of a shlomim, a peace offering that were separated and given to kohanim. That's, and they're called kochim. The pasuk says uvas kohen kisei lishzor. He betrumas hakodoshim lo soichal. V'mamar, this pasuk that said trumas hakodoshim is bemuram min hakodoshim, that which is separated from sacrifices. The chosav eshok, the breast and the leg of a korban shlomim were separated and given to the kohanim. So these kohanim would not be entitled to eat the chosav eshok. Which is a representation of korbanos. They would not be allowed to eat korbanos, and that's what the word kochim is a reference to. As the pasuk said, that they're not going to eat from trumas hakadoshim, and trumas hakadoshim is bemura min hakadoshim lo sochal. These kohanim will not be in. The pasuk itself is a reference to a bas kohen that marries a non kohen. As a bas kohen living with her father the kohen, she would have been entitled to eat this. But now that she's married to an ish zar, to a non kohen, she's not going to be. That's lo sochal, she shall not eat from it. And the reason we brought this pasuk was to show you that the word kodshim is a reference to sacrifices. So as far as we are concerned, rabbinic truma, though, they were entitled to eat. The pasuk that referred to there would not eat from kodesh hakodeshim. They would not eat from kodesh, from Torah truma, Torah level truma, dogon tirosh and yitzhar, and they would not eat from sacrifices. But rabbinic truma, they would be allowed to eat. As Rabbi Yossi said, gedolah chazoka, we learn from that which they were used to eating in the gola, in the exile, they would continue eating in Eretz Yisrael. Even though they did not have a record of their lineage, of their Kohen lineage. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.